Almighty and everlasting Father, we want to say thank you. Lord, we are grateful in our hearts for all that you have done for us. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Father, for your compassion. Thank you, Father, for your mercies. Thank you, Father, for forgiveness of sins. Lord, we have come again this morning. Lord, except you speak to us, except you touch us, except you minister to us, Lord, we are stuck. We ask this morning that, Lord, you look down upon us with mercy, that you will speak to our situations in the mighty name of Jesus, that no one will live here the same way in the name of Jesus, that, Lord, you will transform us in the name of Jesus. You will lift burdens this morning in the name of Jesus. We pray that long-standing problems, even this morning, they will be resolved in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Most High God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. We continue with the theme, Authentic Christianity. I have been blessed mightily by this theme. I can't remember where I was talking about this, that it's an opportunity for me to reflect, you know, just have personal reflection about how I'm doing. And I think from time to time, you know, we need to do that. We would have struggles every now and again. But then that's why God sends us his word, you know, to comfort us, to encourage us, and even to convict us. And as I began to look at this, I've been asked to speak on humility that comes from wisdom. I took time to just take stock. And I had, again, an opportunity to reflect. And I came up with seven things, that's personal reflection now, seven things that are profound to me. And it's helping me to shape how I think and how I operate. The first thing is that I realize that there's so much that I don't know. I never thought that I knew all. But I thought, you know, on the scale of 1 to 10, maybe I'll find myself between 4, 4.5, 3. But I have come to realize that I don't know anything. That's me now, not you. I've also come to realize that there's so much that I will never ever know. There's still so much that I will never ever know. Number three, I've come to realize that there's so much that I don't have control over. So much going on, I don't have control over it. Because at times we can live our lives like we're in charge. No control. So much. What will happen in the next 2 hours? You don't have control over it. And the fourth realization is that life goes on whether I play a part in it or not. life goes on, whether I play a part in it or not. And then it leads me to the fifth realization, that life is a journey. Life is a journey. And number six, someone else determines when you start life's journey. It's not dependent on you. Somebody is determining those things when life starts. And lastly, someone determines when life stops. So I looked at everything and I thought, okay. It helps me to put things in perspective. I don't have any role in all this, except what has been handed to me. We're going to look at James chapter 3. James chapter 3 from verses 13 to 18. It says, if you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Philippians 2 verses 1 to 11. It says, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So after I did my personal reflection, I tried to look into the Word of God as well. And I found a few strange themes. Paradox, if you would allow me to use that, which kind of buttressed, you know, my personal reflection. For instance, in Proverbs 24, verse 5, he says, "The wise are mightier than the strong, and those with knowledge grow stronger and stronger." The wise are mightier than the strong. And I thought, on one hand you have the wise, and on one hand you have the mighty or the strong. But he's saying here that the wise are mightier than the strong. In the natural sense, I would say the strong should be mightier than the wise. But in the spiritual sense of things, it's the other way around. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11 says, "I have observed something else under the sun. The fastest runner doesn't always win the race." This is strange. The one who runs fastest, there are no guarantees that he will win the race. And the strongest warrior doesn't always win the battle. How can this be? The fastest runner doesn't always win the race. The strongest warrior doesn't always win the battle. It says the wise sometimes go hungry, and the skillful are not necessarily wealthy. And those who are educated don't always lead successful lives. So what is going on here? These are the things that naturally my sense says to me that if you can tick this box, then you're sorted. But then the Bible is saying otherwise, that there are no guarantees. Again, in the book of Ecclesiastes, again, chapter 10, verse 7, it says, "I have seen servants riding horseback like princes, and princes walking like servants." Not adding up. But this is the Word of God. So my conclusion quickly is that wisdom dictates, from all I have seen, the personal reflection, going into the Bible, to read the Bible, to the Word of God, one thing is certain: I am not in charge. There is somebody behind the scene pulling the strings. They say what you see is what you get. No, that's not correct. There is so much that you are not seeing. In fact, we hear and we know that the spiritual, the unseen world, governs the physical world. So wisdom dictates clearly that I humble myself and I submit to the one who is in charge. Because I'm not in charge. I thought I was in charge, but I'm not. Wisdom dictates. It's very easy. There is no need to speak to any prophet about it. It's clear that we are not in charge. And if we're not, then we need to humble ourselves and submit to the one who is in charge. That is wisdom. But what is wisdom? Wisdom is the correct application of knowledge. So a man can be knowledgeable and still not know how to apply it correctly. And that's why you see, I see doctors and, you know, they smoke, and you're wondering, you should know better. You should know better than us. Even if we do it, you can be excused out of ignorance. But you are the custodian of this thing. But could it be that ability to transfer that knowledge to become wisdom is not there? Proverbs chapter 11 verse 2 says, pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. So humility itself is an embodiment of wisdom. That's the first step to your journey, to our journey of wisdom. Now, why must I humble myself and submit to God? Why? So that I can become wise. Proverbs chapter 13 verse 20 says, walk with the wise and you become wise. Why must I humble myself? Since you are not in charge, and you now realize that God is the one who is in charge, why must I submit to God? Why must I humble myself first and submit to God? So that I can become wise. Why must I humble myself and submit to God? So that I can understand God's ways. Because Isaiah 55, I think the 8th chapter says, His ways are not our ways. Neither His thoughts our thoughts. Far apart. Any man who would walk with God has to understand how God operates. God's ways are different from our ways. He doesn't think like man. He doesn't reason like man. We are conditioned to think this way, but not so with God. So if you are going to walk with Him, if you're serious about walking with Him, then you've got to learn His ways. You've got to learn His language. Because God has a language He speaks. It's not a general language that we speak. Why must I humble myself and submit to God? So that I can live a honorable life and do good works. That's what James 3 talks to us about. The life that God has designed for me to live, so that God can help me to live that life. A honorable life, doing good works. Now, if I choose not to submit to Him, not to humble myself and submit to Him, because I have a choice, God has given us choices. We have the power of choice. We can make choices. If I say, well, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to humble myself, I'm not going to submit to God, What can happen anyway? When you fail to, you might not say it in that way, that I'm not going to submit. Because most people who hear, you know, under the sound of my voice, you must have some connection, you know, one connection or the other with God. You must love God to be here. Well, you know, at times, we're not saying it, but we're saying it. If that makes sense. God, I love you, but not now. If we don't humble ourselves and submit to Him, then we can move to a different zone. And James 3 talks about that zone. Bitterness and jealousy. And I began to look at it. You know, these things, at times, we were so used to these words that at times it loses its meaning. Becoming bitterly jealous would ultimately lead to selfish ambition. How do we know this? James chapter 4, from verses 1 to 3, states that what is causing quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. So when a man refuses to humble himself before God, then you're not under the management of God. And it's only logical that because you're not under the management of God, there are certain things that will be denied you. God is merciful. He will provide the basic things. But there are certain things that you won't have access to. And when you don't have access to such things, it can lead to what we're talking about. Why is it that God is why is it that, you know, this lady or this brother or this sister is being blessed? What about me? Now let me clarify that. Doesn't mean that because God hasn't done something for you, it means that you've done something wrong. Not necessarily. There are times that, you know, God is working on you, working on your character. You know, but I'm talking about a generalistic thing now, that you refuse to humble yourself before God. There are consequences. And then bitterness sets in. And looking at this, James chapter 4, scheming comes in, even killing. It goes to that extent. This thing called bitterness. And I must confess that at one point in time or the other, we found ourselves, I found myself in there, in that zone. But don't stay in that zone. It's not a good zone to stay in. Because once bitterness sets in, everything about self kicks in. You are not thinking about the big picture. It's all about yourself. And that's a very dangerous place to be in. We read stories. How can a father stab a child of his? These things don't happen overnight. You start from this zone. Maybe something has happened and he's now zoned himself into that area of bitterness. And then from bitterness it becomes self. Self takes over. And when self takes over, it's all about me. It doesn't matter what's going on out there. So you can see where these problems happen. Somebody goes to a mall and it detonates a bomb. You don't care whether there are people there, young people. It's all about me. And you know what? There's no end to this. Once a man enters into this zone, the enemy just keeps pushing you in. Jealousy and selfish ambition are siblings. Where you find jealousy, it's a matter of time. Self will take over. And when self takes over, it's the quickest way to destruction. That is not God's plan for you and I. It's far from God's plan. It's so, I wouldn't say strange, but I can see, you know, the Bible, God knows us. He knows us in and out. So I don't know when someone says that this, the word of God is not true. How true can this be? Just reading your email out. It goes on in this book of James to talk about how we cover up the lie, trying to impress, and they will begin to boast, and boasting leads to lying, and then a false life altogether, starting from this area of bitterness, just because a man will not humble himself. That's where it starts from. Because a man refuses to humble himself, you can see the effect. It just keeps going and going and going. And I see people in different circumstances. Some in prison, when I have the opportunity to go there. And they're regular guys like myself and yourself. Very regular. Very, very regular chaps. Some of them, they've held high offices. But something went wrong somewhere. And if you dig deep, it comes down to this. Putting things in the right perspective. You are not in charge. You're not in control. And wisdom dictates that you come off that high horse and submit. I began to read about jealousy and selfishness. And the Bible says that it is not earthly. I can relate with that. I'm not saying it's right, but I mean, I can relate with that. He says it is unspiritual. It's not good, but you know, I'm not condoning it, but I can still relate with it. If it's not spiritual, then make it spiritual. But the last one, he says, is demonic. That one, I can't. Because that's another zone entirely, like zone 7. And when you get to that zone, it's only God. You've been on this, you know, this southeastern Southeastern Rail, or you know, this one that goes through here. You get to some areas, you don't even know where you are. Nobody at the checkup point, nowhere to put ticket. No, you just know you are in a different place. It is not earthly. It is unspiritual. It is demonic. So this is big stuff. It's not a joke. Big stuff. And so if the demonic has stepped in, then we need to back out. Because the Bible says to us in this same book of James that demons, wherever they are, you probably know better than I do. You know, go through the Gospels and see. Wherever they are is problem. And they don't come in ones and twos. They come in geons. They come in wholesome stuff. I think it's the book of in the Gospels where Jesus cast out some demons. And they said, give us permission to just enter into those pigs. And the moment he gave them permission, the pigs just ran. They went to commit suicide, ran into the river. Terrible stuff. Demons cause disorder and evil of every kind. So is it worth it to allow ourselves to go into that zone when we ought to have just humbled ourselves from the beginning? So what must I do to gain God's wisdom? Because this is where this is all going to. All your submission, all your humility, it's going towards a particular direction. God wants to give you his own wisdom. And again, it starts by humbling ourselves. Humbling ourselves before God. Acknowledging that God is in charge. And this might mean that you might need to repent of your sins if you have gone the other way around. God is merciful. He will accept you. Over and over we've talked about this here, that there are no, you know, just come to him with a sincere heart. Genuine repentance is what God is asking for. But you must humble yourself. And then as you humble yourself, begin to associate with God. You see, association plays a very, very important role. I've seen that over and over in the last few years. The company you keep will determine how far you go. Then ask God for wisdom. Humble yourself before God. Spend time with him. Associate with him. And then ask him for wisdom. The Bible says that wisdom is the principal thing. Everyone needs it. The kings, they need it. The leaders, everyone needs wisdom. As you do this, what should you expect from God? As you humble yourself before God As you begin to associate with Him, as you begin to spend time with Him, as you begin to commune with Him, what should you expect back from God? Expect God to encourage you. My brothers and sisters, we need encouragement from time to time. The reason why people go into this zone of bitterness is partly because of discouragement. Things are not adding up. And there are so many examples in the Bible of how God encouraged people. Moses, forgotten in the backside of the desert, God came looking for him. He wasn't looking for God. God came looking for him. What about Peter? Peter failed Jesus. So many examples. Joshua was a servant to Moses. And just being an assistant to Moses, God takes him from that level and he begins to run a country, begins to rule a country. And God was encouraging him in Joshua chapter 1. It's only God that can do that. From time to time, we need God's encouragement. Don't go about it all by yourself. You don't have what it takes. What else should I be expecting from God as I begin to humble myself, as I begin to commune with Him? Expect God to comfort you with His love. One of the things I thank God for is the series we're having. We've been having this training for the last 3 or 4 weeks. And I think we're wrapping it up today. You know, I've learned so much from the Freedom in Jesus training that we hold on every Sunday here. They talk to us about rejection. Wow, it's a big thing. That every one of us at one point in time or the other will be rejected. Men have rejected us. Family have rejected us. Society have rejected us. The system, they say they don't want to see us. But God can comfort you with His love. That's the beauty of having this association. Because, let's face facts. I'd rather have God be on my side than for the society to be saying, you are the one. Because today they say, Hosanna, tomorrow they can finish you. One stroke of the pen. That's it. Gone. Next person. Just statistics. But when God comforts you with His love, my God, it doesn't matter if you are 1 million against me. As long as God is on my side. He says, the Lord is on my side. He says, I will not fear. So what can man do to me? But He has to be on your side. He needs to be on your side. You have to ensure that God is on your side. What should I expect from God as I humble myself, as I begin to associate with Him, as I begin to commune with Him? As I begin to obey Him, as I begin to seek His face, what should I expect from God? Fellowship in the Spirit. You see, the wisdom of God is highly spiritual, not a natural thing. This authentic Christianity is all based on the Spirit. You can't do it through the natural work. It's highly, highly spiritual. But as we begin to commune with God through the Spirit of God, as we begin to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, God begins to release His wisdom. And in fact, wisdom itself is the Spirit, called the Spirit of Wisdom. And then you find out that your heart begins to get tender. The heart that was stone cold begins to get tender and compassionate. Why? Because now you are mingling with God. The nature of God is now rubbing us. And he said, what's this God's wisdom? What does it look like? He says it's first of all pure, flawless, transparent. The wisdom that God wants to give to you. No ulterior motives. It's peace loving. It's gentle at all times. Now, those things don't come naturally. They're not natural things. It can only be done by the help of the Spirit. Willing to yield to others. Sacrificial giving. It's full of mercy and good deeds. Shows no favoritism. And it's always sincere. That is the wisdom of God. The other wisdom, we talked about it, is just chaos. But this one is the wisdom of God. And James 3 verse 13 that we read initially says that if you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life. God is interested in the proof. God is interested in the proof. Incidentally, the world itself is interested in the proof. Everything in the world is going chaotic. We've read it here. We are the light of the world. We are supposed to go out and fix these problems. These things that we've talked about, the wisdom of God is what will help us. People will see it in us, they will identify. Because the world needs this. They don't have it, they need this wisdom. There must be a difference between God's wisdom and the earthly wisdom. But one thing is certain. As good as these things are, gentle at all times, full of mercy, peace-loving, the world needs all this. It's something that definitely would happen. Wherever proof is required, you must undergo a test. Wherever proof is required, a test must take place. Show me somebody who says she's pregnant, I want to see the test. Show me somebody who says is ill. There must be a test. So every day of our lives, we are writing a test. So God takes us through a school. Now we're going through authentic Christianity. A test is coming. It's part of it. Why don't you ask God to help you this morning? I don't know which aspect the Holy Spirit is nudging you on. Why don't you ask Him for help?
Maybe you found yourself in that bitter zone. It's so easy to come out of that zone. So repent and humble yourself before the one who is in charge. Maybe you want to do that quickly this morning. Maybe you are forced into that zone, or you went there by yourself. It's not worth it. Why don't you speak to God this morning and say, Lord, please help me. I want to come out of this zone. Have mercy upon me. Restore me back to where I rightfully belong. Definitely, we're going to write tests. There can never be a promotion in the realm of the Spirit until you pass your test. Why don't you speak to God this morning, that, Lord, all that I have learned so far, help me to put these things to use. Do you have a grudge against anyone? Why don't you release such a person? We have been told that unforgiveness, you are giving the devil a foothold. You don't want that at all. Just ask that, God, please help me. I want to get it right. And then ask God for his own wisdom. The wisdom that is full of mercy. The wisdom that is sincere. Ask God for his own wisdom. Our Father and our God, we want to thank you this morning and we give you praise. Lord, we repent of our sins in any way that, Father, we have transgressed. But Lord, you see our hearts. We mean business. Oh Lord, please help us out. In the name of Jesus. Is there anyone who is in the zone of bitterness and selfish ambition? First of all, Father, we repent of our sins. Lord, we ask by your grace and by your mercy that you take us out of that zone in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray, O God, for your wisdom, not the earthly wisdom, but God's own wisdom that is first of all pure. Father, release that wisdom upon us in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask for one thing this afternoon. Please always remind us that we are going to be sitting for tests. And when those tests come, help us to recognize those tests and to pass our tests. In Jesus' name we pray.